is our own observations and recommendations and the issue that we raised with the thing we need to frame that particular portion. The first few pages is more of content in terms of what the presenters presented to us. We just need to make sure that it is correctly captured, that part. The second point that I want to raise is that honorable members should be aware by now that this committee still functions with one person, and in that respect is only Bradley, content advisor and researcher. It's not yet appointed, but we're in the process of actually finalizing that part. We've done some interviews and so on and so forth. That, to a large extent, does impact on the quality of our reports, but also on the time that members would have access to reports. We've got one person who's working around the clock, and so far, I must say, he has been a very, very good servant to the committee. If we had somebody else, would simply leave us in very, very difficult circumstances and not have anyone to blame but the entire parliamentary machinery. So I thought I should just indicate on these issues. The first draft that you tried to send to me was last night, and therefore all members could not get this report. But I think we've managed in the past to overcome this kind of problems through collaborative efforts, working as a team. So far, nobody thinks we've got these difficulties as a committee. Everybody thinks the Committee of Finance, Standing Committee on Finance, is well-resourced and is doing its work the way it's supposed to do it. On apologies, Honorable Speaker will join us late. She started in a strategy meeting. Honorable Luyenge has a presentation to make in another committee. But with his apology registered, I think we can proceed to do our work, adopt the report with recommendations and amendments so that over the weekend, Bradley can then finalize that and probably email it on Monday to members so that by Tuesday we then have a report that is tabled and deliberated. Is that okay, Bradley? Honourable members? Okay. Luyenge, you are released for now, but come back as soon as your presentation is over. Thank you. Honourable John?
Thank you, Jason. There should have been an apology also from Marius Swart, because he is in another committee at the moment. Thank you.
The apologies are noted. In fact, I was going to ask Dr. George that since you went to see the Reserve Bank governor with Maria Swart, he hasn't come back to this committee. I thought you're still really pursuing the governor to defend the rent. But I was going to ask at some point what has happened to him, because we really miss his contributions. Thanks, honorable members. Can we, I guess you have had some few minutes just to gloss over the first part, which is more around grammar and content in terms of the presenters. Honorable Mutimele at some point raised an issue that the committee report should not just be about verbatim production of what has been presented, but I think it's something that we'll continue to work on once we've got capacity as a committee. Thanks. Any comments on page one? Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Unfortunately, as you know, I wasn't here for the discussions with the StatsSA, but my colleague Anne Shandreo was, and she did give me some feedback, so I should have all the information I need. Just on the issue of Mr. Swart, is that he, Honourable Swart, is that he also serves on the Appropriation Committee. and they sit very long and go through a lot of stuff. So I think he's having difficulty in covering both of them comprehensively. So his focus is on the Appropriations Committee. On page number one, where it says on the end of the introduction, the organization is now accountable to the Minister of National Planning. We did raise it before about who holds this status or the minister to account in this particular instance. Am I right in understanding that it is the Standing Committee on Finance that provides the oversight on status A in this instance? Because I think it just needs to be clarified, because it does need to be exercised somewhere. And if it is that way, then I think we need to actually say that the Standing Committee on Finance provides oversight. The end of that sentence.
No, I'm online, Jefferson. Thank you, Jefferson. I didn't know that Bradley does not have a researcher. Very tragic. But as I was reading the report today, Jefferson, I somehow felt that this is something near to being a committee reporter. So Bradley is doing very well, and to that effect, the clarity is just on the second paragraph on the introduction, the second line. I think there is an omission here. The production and dissemination of official and other statistics. Or official statistics. Okay. Was there no an omission here? Dissemination of officials and other statistics. What would be official and what would be these other statistics? Oh, official would mean official statistics. And then what would be the other statistics?
Yeah, and I'm used to those ones. I mean, looking at how StatsSA collects this data, it's a given that they are not only relying on the StatsSA capacity as the source of data collection. They are also relying on informal, but also official, what call government departments, for and other sources, producers of data, I mean, to come to conclusion on that. So I'm of the opinion that official steps, they employ, I mean, they imply, in fact, the steps that they are producing, obviously, endorsed by steps. But by other statistics, I think they are referring to those statistics that are generated by other producers of this data. That's my thinking. I'm not sure if I'm...
Yeah, I think Honorable Van Rooyen is correct, but I'm not sure whether the sentence shouldn't be a little bit broadened. Are we comfortable with the way it is actually captured? Chairperson, I'm saying from what Honorable Van Rooyen has said, I think we should qualify it by saying that from other sources. There are official sources and there will be other sources. I don't know, as I said, it could be in an informal discussion. Yeah.
I agree with that.
insertion. Yeah. Okay. Nyambo? You know, of course, this is a recorded discussion. I must say, Nyambo, I'm referring to Honorable Mthethwa.
No, thanks, Chair. I was saying that because they also mention on the state that their main source of information is like Home Affairs. So I think that's where they get most of the information, Home Affairs and the police services. I think to leave it as others, it will capture even those that are not being mentioned here.
Okay. Can you proceed? Still on page one. The third paragraph, the reorganization of cabinet, I just want to, I looked at this sentence or paragraph, I was not very sure whether it is accurate. And I said I'll test this understanding with honorable members here. If you read it, it says, especially this was done in order to provide evidence-based data. No, before that. Cabinet and government in 2009 resulted in ZSA being accountable to the presidents rather than the national treasury, as was the case in the past 15 years. Oh, all right. No, I think it's correct. I thought it was the case in the past 15 years in relation to the presidency, but it's in relation to national treasury. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, I think I was lost. I thought we are looking at our report, this one, and not the input of the presentation. So which document are we using here?
The one that, the draft one. I forgot to mention that we've got two sets of documents.
Yeah, this is
the other set of documents is the response of National Treasury in terms of the issue that we raised in the previous last year's budget vote. If you remember, they did not actually give us the responses. It's only now that we got the responses. I forgot to mention that the minister phoned me yesterday to say they did respond, but that report did not find its way to the committee. Their responses did not find their way to the committee. It got lost somewhere in the administration. So in our last interactions, they went back to check, and they found out that the responses that they sent to the committee were never sent to us and therefore never tabled. So they've given us these responses in order to make sure that as we move forward, there's a base of the issue that you want to discuss with them and you know what are the responses on those issues. It will be helpful for honorable members to look into that report or responses as we prepare for our debate, because some of the issues that we raise may actually find the necessity to raise them again when in actual fact National Treasury has already responded to those issues. It's just a technical and a procedural or administrative issue, not a technical issue. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chair. On that issue, I'm not sure if it's clear in my own mind about oversight of StatsSA, because it is correct, factually it's correct that they were moved from Treasury to the Presidency, and then they were under Minister Manuel now in the Presidency and not under Minister Gordon. We didn't get the report of the discussion last year, because obviously my understanding is that they were going to have oversight somewhere else. So we actually haven't held, as far as I understand it, and I've been in this committee since the last term, that we haven't held StatsSA actually to account over the past year. That is my understanding. We haven't really exercised oversight. I'm not saying there's a problem with StatsSA. All I'm saying is we need to be very clear as to where it actually lies, because if we as a finance committee are not doing that, somebody must be doing it. And if it is us, then we must do it effectively, because obviously getting the report a year later it's not really tight enough, I think. So I think certainly in my own mind, I'd like clarification as to where does it reside, and if it resides with us, then at least we know that and we must pursue it, because it's very important, the stuff that they do. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Madlamin.
Thank you, Chair. I hear that the Honorable just keep on repeating the point, which I think it is an important point. But however, I will look at it as a recommendation from the committee, whether can we afford to do an oversight on this division now, which is the set division or the set department, what it has moved to the presidency, or we are saying let the division or the department have its own committee. Then I think because it, Commerce Judge, Honorable Judge, keep on repeating, and it is a critical point, indeed, that whether a new committee needs to be formed, but whether that's a political decision or a committee decision, then I am not too sure. But yes, a committee in charge of a ministry itself, because the ministry after the reconfiguration of departments was there, so and it doesn't have the committee, so as the monitoring. Thank you, Chair.
In other ways, as the committee, what we are saying is that we should not assume that the oversight responsibility of Parliament over Statistics South Africa is through this committee. It should not be an assumption. It needs to be clarified.
But I know for the fact that in the context of what was submitted by Matlamini, Honorable Matlamini, it's very clear that the question is broader. It's not only focusing on stats, because I'm also now thinking of. Because I know this particular argument is not coming for the first time on issues of oversight. It's also obviously touching on the other ministry that has been established, monitoring and evaluation on aspect of oversight. But now, obviously, we are trying to focus on issues of state SA. My question, Chair, I don't know what made state SA to come and because I think that there was a guideline for them to say, we are now going to present our report to the Standing Committee on Finance. And obviously, that guideline to me is very important. And that might also enrich our discussions here. Because how did they come to a conclusion that this is the committee that we are going to present our strategic plan to, not any other committee? So I'm not sure how will we deal with this going forward, but I'm just saying, that there must be some form of guideline to say go and present this, and from there I think we can obviously have our direction, you know, because they were there and they presented to us and not any other committee.
I think you are right, Honorable Van Rijn, and the question that the Honorable Judge has raised is broader, because it's not just about monitoring and evaluation and STAT-SA. STAT-SA is a component of one of the functionaries or the line functions of a ministry responsible for planning. The broader question is where does that ministry, the overall ministry, account to in terms of Parliament? Can he choose that this one goes to finance, this one goes to governance, this one goes to and so on and so forth, because it's a minister responsible for for planning in the presidency, and there is an establishment of a national planning commission in there. How does that commission link with Parliament? So it's not just one aspect of his responsibility that comes to the committee. That issue needs to be clarified. I think this is what the committee should actually recommend to, or I don't know what it is, recommend, as you say, that we need clarity around that particular matter. Parliament must make a decision in terms of the oversight of those ministries in terms of monitoring and evaluation and and planning in the presidency. Because as things stand now, there's a gray area, you know. If they choose not to come, what then do you do? You can't say, you know, it is our fiduciary responsibility or a parliamentary constitutional responsibility to play an oversight role on the ministry responsible for planning in the presidency. We cannot appropriate that power to ourselves as a committee. So it needs to be clarified. Agreed? We're still on page one. Any other changes? Page two?
This is a very good exercise. Okay. I just hope that I'm not catch up with Friday fever. You know, Yellow Friday we don't meet. So I was just trying to say earlier on, Dr. George suggested that we must add another sentence just to emphasize on our role in terms of overseeing the work of SSA. So, based on this recommendation, will it still be necessary for us to continue with that addition? So, in my opinion, that recommendation is catering for that clarity, because we can't say with surety now that this power, I mean, has been appropriated to our committee. And on the other side, we are seeking clarity. So I think maybe we must not add, instead just focus on that recommendation.
Yes, Chair, I agree. We shouldn't add it on because we don't really know. I think it will be covered in the recommendation. Thanks.
We're on page two.
Thank you, Chair. Mine would be the contribution on the last bullet under challenges and areas of intervention, where the sentence read thus: intergovernmental collaboration with South African African Revenue Services, comma, CEPRO, and other. Then it says other needs to be strengthened instead of. So what I'm requesting other departments, like Home Affairs, you know. If you can just add that, if it's okay. Thank you.
Page three. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. Under 2.4, on the second paragraph on the last sentence, it talks about that they had developed a methodology for establishing a poverty line and conducting a living condition survey to produce a poverty profile of the country. Now, this poverty line index was mentioned by the Minister of Finance. It was then Mr. Manuel, I think it was 2 years ago. And then I did continue to ask about the poverty line, and every single time it was a response that it's being worked on. Now, I wasn't at the committee meeting, so I couldn't ask the question, but I just wanted to know for clarity from maybe the committee members, is that did they say that they had developed the methodology for establishing it and that they were implementing it, or have they just done the methodology? Because what I'm trying to ascertain is this land developed? And then if it is, what is it? And then is it going to be implemented? Or are they still in progress with it? Because I think it's a very important thing that we need to measure in the economy. Thanks, Jay.
Honorable Dubazana.
Thank you, Chair. No, they only mentioned that there are new methodology that have been developed, but whether they have been implemented or started executing them, it does not clear to the that's what I can remember.
Yeah, because Dr. George was not present. Amongst other issues that I think we should do moving forward, because it's an issue of 2011 census, we would have to find a way in terms of our recommendations, if it's not there yet, that before the end of probably this term, we may need to have an interaction with that SA to have a full presentation, a step-by-step development within STATESA in preparation for that, because that will then be able to answer to the question of the methodology and so on and so forth, whether it's going to be applicable or not applicable in the coming census. But my understanding is that it should be a tool that is going to be used as we move on, as to the time frames and so on and so forth. It's a matter that we need to find more information around it. Is that okay, colleagues?
Page 4.
I don't know why the chair's mic cannot be permanently on. Let's try. Yeah. Okay. Dr. George?
Thank you. On Census 2011, as I said, and you've mentioned it, I wasn't here, so maybe it was covered, but it's obviously a very expensive exercise, and there's lots that need to be done on the census, and I see that they want to use teachers and so on. Are we satisfied, fully satisfied, that there is enough money available for the census? Obviously, if that's if they think so, then fine, but I think that's a very important question for us to make sure that we're clear on. And then on the other issue of the undercounting, I know it was mentioned in the committee meeting. My colleague made notes for me on it. But specifically on the refugee population, there's been a lot of noise raised about we do have an influx of people from all over the African continent, and we need to know where they are. And it's very difficult sometimes because many of them are undocumented. So, you know, is there going to be any specific thing that STATESA is going to be doing to make sure that that section of our population can be counted effectively, and if they have enough money to do that? Thank you, Chair.
In terms of the budget, the matter was raised, and in actual fact, I recall very well that the statistician general indicated that, comparatively speaking, their budget is at about 52%, 52 or 54% in relation to the rest of the countries that undertake statistics very serious like ourselves. And on average, they are above because other countries, their budget will actually consume 30%. Was it 30%? I don't have the correct way of putting it, but our budget or their budget is sufficient in the sense that it's above the average. Yeah, let me put it down that way. It's above the average. Okay. And then the issue of refugee population. I think as a committee, They did indicate the difficulties in terms of undercounting and the way people look at census and the way they relate with census. I think it's a project that we ourselves as a committee should encourage the entire parliament and society to begin to take this thing as a campaign beyond our political affiliations and so on and so forth, so that we help SA to can access as many people as they can, or everybody that is in the country. I think that's what I can say for now. Basically, the popularization of Census 2011. What messages need to go out there to make sure that people don't see this thing as a way of getting at them and arresting them, you know. On page 4, I thought these abbreviations, you must put them in brackets. South African whatever. Let's have the full name. Whether it's South African qualifications or I don't know.
Page 4. Convention, page 4. You know, Chair, this thing was raised in the presentation. The one of looking at the prospect of having a 10-year yearly, a census as compared to the 5 yearly census, because as you are all aware that in 2007, the state of census, the community survey was conducted as part of looking into the possibility of this the prospect of having a 10 yearly census. But I think as a, maybe not as a recommendation, maybe something that we can look at as we continue for our oversight role, the effectiveness of this particular approach. And at some stage, I think we need to express our opinion as a committee around this particular approach. So as part of our oversight going forward, we'll have to be given an update about the how is it progressing, you know. Thanks.
Honorable Goranov, welcome.
Thank you. I'm standing in at sport for also for the report.
No, we know that you have to campaign very hard so that you can have enough representation or representatives in parliament, but we're not going to make it easy for you, I can assure you.
Can I just say, I know it was not mentioned, you know, at the committee session, but census is in October 2011, and obviously, you know, we will again make use of teachers, and I do not object to that, but October is a very difficult time of the year in terms of preparations for examinations. So I don't know whether we can raise it at this stage that there must be just be cautious that we do not disrupt teaching, you know, in 2011. I don't know. Maybe it's. I'm just putting up a flare. I don't know.
I think it's an important point, since education is one of our key priorities. It is one of the issues that can be raised so that it must not become disruptive. It should be better managed if that's the route that they want to take. But as a committee, I think we should raise those issues.
Must be safe.
Thank you, Chair. Second paragraph. You know, I remember asking a question when it comes to a functional health information system that is being used or that is being proposed. And I think it was the minister who replied on that, saying that it's true that to have a survey data from hospitals is critical. However, they're experiencing a serious problem when it comes to a system that they need to use. And so they are in the process of looking for a system, which means the system that is existing, it's not collecting the data accurately I don't know how to put it, but I remember it actually accepted that the system that they were using for health sector was not effective enough to collect an appropriate data. I remember giving an example of somebody with the. Can you remember that? Chair Bradley doesn't remember it very well, but. Because they're not recording, you know, I gave an example that health is a multidisciplinary sort of sector, and if you look at the survey, it talk about maternal and mortality, whatever. When you look at the survey, that's the only information that you get. Whereas health is not about those things alone. We need a system that is going to be able to inform us that when we go to the system, we're able to say, in such and such a time, where so many doctors, we left the country, so many came in this discipline, whether it was an orthopedic, whether that's the system I was talking about, whether it was the orthopedic statisticians, obstetricians, this is information I was talking about. And then the minister agreed that it's true, that system is not in place. They've got only a functional system which looks at when they do the survey. In fact, it does the survey. Thanks.
I see there's another mic on here. Okay. Yeah, no, there was another one here. Okay. I think perhaps what we should do, you should just go back to the records. Honorable Bradley, you spend so much time with us, you are becoming honorable. Yeah. So that you can just try to capture what the Honorable Madlamini is saying. All right. Can we move to page 5? Page 6. Oh. But why? Why is mine 4? Do I have 4? Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Chair. On 4.1, it says that community participation should be considered as an objective in a strategic plan. I think that is a good idea for community participation, but I'm not quite sure what it's about. Community participation on what? On the whole plan, or it's not clear to me. And then 4.2, staff FA should consider collecting data on a daily basis instead of a quarterly basis. Now that obviously is quite a radical shift if you're getting a quarterly and then you have to do it daily. I'm not quite sure where they are in terms of capacity at the moment, but if we want them to go that way, then we should say something about that they should build the capacity to collect on a daily basis, because, you know, consider collecting on a daily basis. Is that realistic? I'm not sure. Thank you. Page 7 just continues with lists of recommendations, so I'll just go through those that I want to just raise anyway. To me, the big question as a committee or whoever holds them or has oversight over the department, is we should ask ourselves, what do we not know about our economy? So, for example, I mean, South Africa does have quite unique circumstances, you know, given our history. So, as a committee, we should be saying to ourselves, what don't we know? Also, Stats SA should be saying to itself, what don't we know? And then once we have understood that, we should then try and get a mechanism of collecting that data. For example, how big is the informal economy? What is the demographic shift in South Africa? Because it influences the way we allocate to the provinces. So between census, people move around. So how do we know where they are? Because, for example, if they're moving to KwaZulu-Natal, for example, then you maybe want to allocate more there or something differently. And then also how many non-South Africans are in South Africa, for example, the undocumented people and versus the documented people. So I think maybe somewhere in the recommendations we could actually put something in there to say, let's identify what we do not know about the economy that we need to know and then develop ways to collect that data. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mazamine, followed by Honorable Mteto.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I just want to give a reply, if it's possible, Chair, to Honorable George regarding 4.1, why that proposed recommendation. That proposed recommendation was based on the committee concerned about the, firstly, if we were looking at the objectives laid by the Stat SA, which were six, there was nowhere where they were talking about how the committee will be involved with the census of 2011. And then 4.2, staff should consider collecting the data on a daily basis. Within the committee, a concern also was raised as to, don't you think collecting of the data must be taken as a routine? If you go to Home Affairs, if somebody gives birth, don't you think that needs to be recorded accordingly? And instead of putting this specific quarterly, that now we are collecting the data, so as to ensure the consistency and the quality of the statistics of the data collected. That's why those proposed recommendations came from our side.
Numbers.
Thank you. 4.4. Actually, I think we need to broaden that statement because we were talking about the unemployed, which include the youth, not specifically only the youth.
Okay. Honorable Van Rooy.
Yes, I think on 4.1, it will be important that what has been said by Honorable Matlamin be considered just to clear this issue of ambiguity. And I think one thing that we have also raised is the issue of, in this process of committee participation, the centrality and the necessity of considering working together with local municipalities, ward committees, and community development workers. Because, I mean, there we have a resource that is not usually tapped into by SSA when they are undertaking their campaign around issues of popularization. And the other recommendations, it's very clear that when you go through all these things that SSA targeted, from all these other sources of data, it's very clear that there is a problem of a data collection capacity. So I think it's important that we insert a recommendation that the status A to develop a comprehensive program that will assist in developing data collection capacity of government department and other data producers. And then secondly, the chair, I think, raised it earlier on. In our recommendations, we must also consider in setting a recommendation that will ensure that we have a briefing on the state of readiness for census 2011, that is, before the forthcoming recess. And lastly, chair, that was that issue that was raised, and I think we all agreed, the one of clarity on oversight power appropriation. I think those are the recommendations that I thought must also be captured.
Mazamit?
The last one, Chair, I think it has to be be on one of our recommendations, which was raised by Honorable George, regarding the economic growth. However, though, maybe one will actually zoom from what the StatSA said, that day when they said there is the fragmentation within the industrial sectoral register. As a result, then we are not aware whether the PPPE as an act and SMME was effective or not effective. If not effective, what needs to be done? If it was effective, who gained out of that? So I think he's right, but we need to have a way of putting it as our recommendation, because it was raised by them that the industrial sectoral register is fragmented.
Any other input under the recommendations? You know, I'm trying to locate a point that the SG raised in relation to the issue of undercounting, because I think we did spend quite a considerable amount of time on that particular challenge. And without belaboring the point, he did admit that undercounting is a very still remains a serious challenge for us, and we are one of those few countries in the world that still faces this challenge. But lots of, or surprisingly, many countries come to learn from us, you know, on our systems and how we actually dealing with this challenge. Now, when I look at the committee's observations, I think we should actually say the committee noted the following issues, rather than to say this is our observations from the interactions and the report itself in terms of the strategic plans of StatSA. The committee noted one, that the undercounting still remains a very serious challenge, which we have not yet overcome since 1996, but there's a progressive attempt to respond to this challenge. Also, before we make those recommendations, we also noted that in their strategic plans, of the five or six priorities that they had, community participation was not their priority on their side. So that we are building a case for our own recommendations. You capturing this correctly? Okay. The issue of teachers. We shouldn't just say, fine, it's part of the noting, yes. In fact, it's properly captured, it was noted. As a committee, we have noted that, but under recommendations, I think we should express a view around this particular matter in relation to what Honorable Gordon Wolf has raised. But I think we should go beyond that in terms of enumerators. Mobilization of society generally and communities may actually provide or strengthen the attempt to get teachers involved in this particular matter. I don't know how we phrase that, but I think the centrality of communities. You know, I like the slogan of the disabled people. You see, census is about us and people. The disabled people say nothing about us without us. So you can't have a successful census if people are not part of it. And I think in the approach, they should actually, as part of popularizing census 2011, find a capturing slogan that will make people identify with it mustn't be just this routine. The census 2011, there's fanfare around flies on TV and so on and so forth. But you need something that people will actually say, there it is coming, wow, we appreciate it, we are going to be counted, and so on and so forth. I don't know how you capture that, but I think it is quite important if we talk about teachers and community participation in the form of people identifying themselves with the census 2011. Yeah, ownership. Yeah, I think those are the few comments I would want to make, and I think Bradley can work and polish this thing. You'll send it to some to all of us probably on Monday if you can, so that if there's a grammatic issue that needs to be dealt with and content issues, my phone will be open. Let's talk about it, honorable member, so that we can help Bradley to finalize this report. Yeah. As a way of concluding, I think we should formalize the support to budget vote 12. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. The DA's approach to the budget is that we meet as a caucus before the end, I think, of May or somewhere around there, and then we go through each one of the specific votes because we look at the whole budget in its totality. So we haven't had that meeting yet. So from the DA side, is I can't say that we would be supporting it emphatically, but my recommendation will be that we do to them. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, can I just, we just had a discussion yesterday about this, and it's exactly the same.
Mm.
I will also say that we must support, but we will only go through that process just before the 27th of May.
Honorable Tetwa?
Chair, I think we understand the DA's position and cope, but the reality, maybe if we can adopt the approach on what is in front of us, we understand that at the later stage, because as we can go on bargaining on those matters, it makes things difficult. But what do we see in front of us? I think let's rather support it here, but we know that there are decisions of the organization that might supersede any of this. But for a committee purposes, I think as a committee, let's support it. I'll appreciate that if we support it as a committee, then we know that we are going to take it back to our constituencies, and then they still can rechange or what. But to pronounce on what is in front of us, I think it's quite crucial and important, because we are the people that are working on it. And it's obvious, Chair, it's a common cause. If we don't support it here, you can't come back tomorrow and say, hey, now I support. Because we were given this task as finance to deal with it. I will appeal to our colleagues if we can move in the same sense. We did it in the other vote. We did the same. If we can continue the other that road, Chair, it will assist all of us.
George?
Chair, I appreciate the sentiments, and I think in an instance like this, it's fairly easy, because I will be going back and I will be saying, I think we should be supporting this. And I stated that here. Now, obviously, if I go back and have a discussion and the outcome is no, we will not support it. It could theoretically happen. It then does cause, I think, possibly some difficulties, and therefore it's more honest, I think, to say, I will go to my group, my caucus, and I will say, I think we should support this. I'm telling you that. I don't have to tell you that, but I am telling you that. The answer might change, and therefore I would then, if, say, for example, the decision was, no, we are not going to support it, then I would look as if I had unsuccessfully gone to bargain or discuss it. You see, so it brings other kinds of difficulties with it. But in this instance, I'm very happy to say that I do support it. I do. But I can't speak on behalf of the DA because they have not made that decision. I think that's just a fine difference, but it is there nonetheless. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I think I understand the position of Dr. George and Mr. Kuranov, that as committee members, they support the budget vote. But the overall decision in terms of their party, they still have to go and communicate the decision or the support of the committee to the budget. If the party expresses a different view, we'll know about it. But as of now, we live in this meeting understanding that as committee members, we support the budget. Okay?
The last sentence on the last page, if we say the members of the Standing Committee on Finance have considered Budget Vote 12 and pledged to support, so then you say the members.
Yeah.
Then there won't be a problem to support that.
Thank you, Chair. I also need a clarity from the two honourable members. I understand that you are to meet with the parties after the Tuesday or before the Tuesday, because Tuesday we're going for debate. Now, when we stand there, at your closure of your debate or your maiden speech, you know, then are we going to say, you're going to say...
You don't need to.
You don't need to. You're just going to be silent on that.
You're going to be silent.
You're just going to be silent.
Let me put this. I think I've said, Honorable Lamine, that as you see in a committee, we're a committee, Standing Committee on Finance members, we don't wear, you know, this party issues. They are saying to us as a committee, as members of the committee, they don't have problems with supporting budget vote number 12. Full stop. All other things, they'll see how they manage them on the other side. Thank you. I think we've come to the end of our meeting. Can we have
just one point on the program? It's got nothing to do with this report.
Maybe let's just have a move and second of the report with this amendment. Dr. George, it's unanimous. Thank you. I think we've got a very good, strong team. We've never taken an issue on a vote in this committee. It's very, very interesting, but very good at the same time.
Chairperson, just on that visit to the Reserve Bank, 11-12. I think it's the President's vote on the 12th. So we must just make sure that we back or either move the day earlier.
These are draft dates, not yet confirmed, but I think it's important that we have raised this matter so that when we finalize this program, we take into consideration everything that they may actually impact on our program as a committee. Thank you. Honourable members, it's 11 o'clock. I think we did our work within record time. The IEPC sitting. Yeah, let's go and make sure that not we sign the registers. We must go and participate. Thank you.